It's always a joy to come back and be with the folks at Trinity Free Presbyterian. We've attended here for years. Love Brother and Sister Mooney and appreciate God's grace and God's mercy in their life and what they have meant to us and still mean to us. I recently did a study and a sharing with the people on communion, and my heart was just overwhelmed thinking about God's people and the fellowship that we have in Christ and with each other, and the encouragement, the provoking that we receive from one another to good works and do the things of God. I am just so thankful for God's people that encourage and provoke us to go on with the Lord, to love God, serve Him. I was thinking in that about peer pressure and our young people and all the peer pressure they receive, and we all have peer pressure. But what greater peer pressure than somebody who forces us by example and provokes us to do the things of God? What a wonderful and marvelous thing. If you have your Bible tonight, turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. If you would stand with us for the reading of the Word of God, Hebrews the 2nd chapter, 1 verse, verse 11. Hebrews 2 and verse 11. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. I want to speak tonight on a topic Brother Ernie gave me a couple years ago, the objective and subjective nature of sanctification. The objective and subjective nature of sanctification. Father, we are so grateful, so thankful for the privilege that you have given us to know you, Lord, to have fellowship with you and fellowship with your people. On this day, to give a stronger emphasis on the resurrection from death. And because you live, we have this blessed hope of life eternal, forgiveness of sins, a life that can be lived for you because of your abounding grace as our high priest, as our advocate, who sits in the heavens and is mindful of our every need. And for the great promise that you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. As our brother has said earlier, Lord, our trials this week, our afflictions, and yet, God, in our great distress, and when we are distraught with our own inward fightings against sin and evil, and we feel the wretchedness of our own being, we come once again, Lord, to realize you have never left us. You are always with us because you are alive and you're mindful of us. So, Lord, touch us this evening. Call us to love you more and to serve you faithfully by your enabling power and your grace, which in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Sanctification is one of those doctrines that receives a little attention in our day in a lot of different circles. It's something that a lot of folks don't want to deal with. And I think once we come to understand our sanctification in the Lord Jesus Christ, It is understandable why, because of the lack of sanctification. There are some different views of sanctification. One of them is, it is our new position in Christ that we receive that conversion. And that certainly is true. I believe it's Dr. Barrett that says, if I'm not mistaken, that it is a principle that is implanted in the heart of believers. And that certainly is true. To others, it is the life we live in Christ after conversion. That separated, consecrated, dedicated, ongoing life we live for God. And that is certainly true in and of itself as well. All of these things talk about and explain the sanctification that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to give you several definitions that we want to work from as we look at objective and subjective nature of sanctification. And the first one is sanctification. From the Greek, the word hagiosmos, and it's only in the New Testament, this particular word, 10 times. It's translated 5 times as sanctification, and 5 times it's translated as holiness. It is amazing that the word sanctification, most of the time in most circles, even religious circles, seems to raise red flags. But the word holiness certainly raises the banner of the red flag even higher. It seems to be one of those words that a lot of folks are scared of. Now, I know that your pastor and the folks here are not. But it seems in a lot of places that that word is not very well accepted or received. But it is the definition that describes for us the word is so translated in the Greek. The definition of sanctification is purification. That is the state of purity. A purifier or holiness or sanctification. It's from the word sanctify. And the word sanctify simply means to make holy. Purify or consecrate, to venerate, hallow, be holy, or to sanctify. Now, with those two definitions in mind, I want to also look at the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, the word objective. The word objective in the 1828 is defined as belonging to the object, contained in the object. And he goes on to say objective certainty is when the proposition is certainly true in itself. So we're talking about sanctification and the objective nature, that which belongs to the object, contained in the object, certainly true of itself. The definition of subjective, it says it's relating to the subject as opposed to the object. Objective is when the proposition is certainly true of itself. And subjective is when we are certain of the truth of it. One more definition. Nature, 1828. The essence, essential qualities, or attributes of a thing which constitute it what it is. So we have the definition of sanctification, sanctify, objective, subjective, and essence, nature. Now I want to state the objective nature and the subjective nature of sanctification. The objective nature of sanctification is Jesus Christ. The objective nature of sanctification is Jesus Christ. The subjective nature of sanctification is the application of the objective nature. Let me say that again. The objective nature of sanctification is Jesus Christ. The subjective nature of sanctification is the application of the objective nature. So let's look first at the objective nature. Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, still open to Hebrews, turn to Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. For such an high priest becomes us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. So this is the stating the objective nature of Jesus Christ. What is his essence? What is his character? He is holy. He is harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He is higher than the heavens. Look in Isaiah chapter 53 with me and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 9. Isaiah 53 and 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Christ is the holy, undefiled, sinless Son of Man. Without sin, any contamination or defilement. Look in Hebrews again with me, chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What is this nature? Sinless. Can you imagine? We heard someone say last year, can you imagine life without sin? And you stop and think, no, I cannot. Can you imagine your life without any sin? And yet when we read of Christ, he was without sin, no blemish, no violence, harmless, undefiled. This is Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 22. 2 and 22. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. What a marvelous, glorious picture we have of a character that is so far beyond us. To comprehend one without blemish, without guile, all of the things it tells of Christ, none of these things were a part of him. And yet I can't imagine my life without sin, because it's all I've ever known. It's that which we struggle and we fight with daily. Look in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5. 1 John 3 and verse 5. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Matthew Poole said it this way. As a man, talking about Christ, his nature was entirely agreeable to the will of God. As a man, his nature was entirely agreeable to the will of God. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if we could say that about ourselves? That our nature was entirely agreeable to the will of God? We this day have celebrated the resurrection. We do have that blessed hope, do we not? Glorification. Christ was thus holy, As such, he was separate from the unholy. But then we have to ask ourselves a question. How do we know what holiness looks like? How do we identify sinlessness? How do we identify all of these attributes of Christ? So we can see Christ. We can't see Him physically. How do we know Christ, and how do we know what He looks like, or what character that is, or what holiness or what sinlessness looks like? Look with me in Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17. Matthew 19 and 17. And He said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but God, but one, that is God. Thou wilt enter to life, keep the commandments. So Jesus Christ here says that God is good. So whatever His character is, it is good. There's none good but God. Look in James chapter 4 and verse 17 with me. James chapter 4 and verse 17. He says, Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There's none good but God. And to him that knoweth to do good, to know what is godly, what is right, and that doesn't do it, to him it is sin. So Christ always did what was good because Christ was without sin. Look in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 and 16. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. So here's a declaration that Jesus Christ, not only is He good, but that Jesus Christ is holy. He's holy. Thus to know what is good, to know what is holy, to know what is just or righteous, is to know the character of God. It's to know what it is to be without sin, to be blameless. Look with me then in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. Romans chapter 7 and verse 12. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Why does God give us then the glorious law, His holy law? Because it is a reflection of His character. It is a reflection of the sanctified one. Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, lived in complete obedience to the law of God because that was His character. What was His character? Look at verse 12 with me again. It was holy. It was just, righteous, and it was good. And He fulfilled that as He lived upon this earth as a man. As a man. So that He could say in the Gospel of St. John chapter 8 and verse 29, so that He could say, John 8, 29, And He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. What pleases God? What is righteous, what is holy, and what is good. And Jesus says, I do always those things that please Him, that please the Father. 1 John 3 and 4. 1 John 3 and 4 then tells us a working definition of sin. Whosoever has committed sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So what was Christ then? He was a perfect law keeper. He was a perfect law keeper. I think we can say sanctification with the definitions that we have read. We can come to two conclusions. Sanctification means to be pure, and it means to be separate or set apart. What is it that separates all religions of the world? Islam. Christianity. It is the law which reflects what they define as what is just, what is holy, and what is good. Is it any wonder today that in the culture that we live, that the world cannot see and have a definition of the character of Jesus Christ? If His people do not believe in justice, righteousness, goodness, and what is holy, and we do not portray that, the life of Christ, how can they then see Christ? Christ, therefore, lived a sanctified life. There is no greater picture. There is no greater manifestation or revelation to us of sanctification than the person of Jesus Christ. There is none. The objective nature of sanctification is Jesus Christ. We talk about all the glorious things of Christ. And truly, the nature of sanctification is revealed to us when we see the Lord. What does it mean to be pure? What does it mean to be separate from sin? Look unto Christ. Look unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and there we shall see what it means to be sanctified. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord seated upon a throne, high and lifted up. And His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet. And with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, what did Isaiah get? A picture of the sanctified Lord. And what did he say? Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He saw Him. Again, I must say, does the world see what it means to be sanctified, what the character of Christ really is? When Isaiah got a glimpse of Christ, of holiness, glory, and the majesty of God, we're not talking about His attributes or can be communicated to us, but His communicable attributes. And when Isaiah saw the Lord high lifted up, woe is me. Look at verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Nothing unholy can take away that which is unholy. Nothing which is unsanctified can take away that which is unsanctified. And thy iniquity and thy is taken away, and thy sins purged. But when we are touched by the sanctified Lord and the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, then the subjective nature of sanctification becomes ours. Secondly, the subjective nature of sanctification is the application of the objective nature. This involves our justification, our adoption, regeneration, our setting apart, our purification, and the entirety of the application of redemption to His people truly purifies us and separates us from what? Sin. Unholiness. Unrighteousness. When Christ is applied to our life, look in Ephesians with me, chapter 4. Excuse me, chapter 1. Ephesians 1 and verse 4. According as He has chosen us in Him. When? Before the foundation of the world. Chose us to what? That we should be holy, without blame before Him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. How does He do this? How does He move us from that state of unrighteousness and living in an unholy state? Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thereby being adopted as the children of God by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. To the praise of the glory of His grace, where He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, where He has abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will according to the good pleasure which He has purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. When did God technically, in reality, really set us apart? Before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. Predestinated us to be what? Look with me in Romans chapter 8. Look with me in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to what? Let me say it this way. To the objective nature. What is the objective nature? The image of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, them He called, He also justified, them He justified, them He also glorified. God has called us to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. God has therefore called us to what? Sanctification. Holiness. Why? Because we are called to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. How? Look in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. I know some have taught I was raised sanctification is the second work of grace. But I want to tell you tonight, the Word of God teaches us, when the blood of Christ purifies us, we are sanctified. We are set apart. We are set apart to be conformed by the blood of Jesus Christ, having been predestinated in eternity past to the image of Jesus Christ. The objective nature of sanctification is applied to us in the person of Jesus Christ. Look in 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 6. and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? The unsanctified, the unholy, the unpure. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor offenders, nor abusers themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. What is he calling? What is he listing here? Unrighteousness. What is unholy? What is not good? And such were some of you. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God takes the person and work of Christ, applies that objective nature to us, and we subjectively become sanctified in the Lord Jesus. Isn't that marvelous? What a wonderful thing the Lord has done for us. Turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, if you're still in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now think of that old song. What can wash away my sins? What can separate me from this contamination? What can take away my filth, my spots, my blemishes, my wretchedness, my wrinkles? Nothing but the blood of the sanctified Son of God. Nothing but the applying of Jesus Christ to take any of these things away from me. What can deliver me from my lawlessness, from my covenant breaking, from my hatred of the things of God? Nothing but Jesus Christ. The application, the picture that we have of our Lord and Savior, who's a perfect covenant-keeping Son of Man, doing for us what we could not do. We're regenerated, justified, adopted, sanctified by our glorious Lord and Savior. We have been set free from the dominion of sin. Therefore, we are no longer lawless, but we are law-abiding citizens of the kingdom of God. Because God has called us out of darkness, applied to us His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and now we walk in sanctification. Turn to Romans chapter 6 with me. Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For ye have yielded your members servants unto uncleanness and to iniquity. Unto iniquity, even so now yield your members as servants to righteousness unto holiness. The word holiness here is the same word that's translated sanctification in other places. We're to yield ourselves as a servant, righteousness, unto sanctification. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. But now being made free from sin and become servants unto God, you have your fruit unto holiness. Or you could say it this way. You have your fruit unto sanctification. Unto the character of Jesus Christ. And the end, everlasting life. Only in Christ is there life and life everlasting. We now are to be conformed to the image of Christ. We're to live a sanctified life that we might do and perform what is holy, what is just or righteous, and what is good. Look in Romans 12 with me, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. This ongoing work of living for the Lord, of sanctification. I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. It is only by God's mercy that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Don't be fashioned like unto this world. Was Christ fashioned like unto this world? What is the world? Anything that's not holy, just, and good. We could say that, right? Christ was not of anything that wasn't just, holy, and good. This world, speaking of men, is full of unrighteousness, things that are not good, and things that are unholy. So be not conformed, be not fashioned like in this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the and perfect will of God. What is the perfect will of God? How do we know it? In Jesus Christ. How revealed to us in the law of God, in the Word of God, the revelation of what it means to be holy, what it means to be good, what it means to be righteous, is revealed to us in the Word of God. And we've already read the passage in John. Christ did always the will of God. He said, I do those things always that please the Father. Always. Yes, we strive with sin. We strive in our growth and sanctification. But it should always be our great desire to live a sanctified life, to reflect, to glorify, to mirror the image of Christ. Romans 8, if you're still in Romans, Romans 8 and verse 4 tells us that those in which there is now no condemnation, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. We might fulfill it. We might perform the righteous deeds of the law of God. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why? That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Why? That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Look here, look at the character of Christ. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. He wants to present the church what? Sanctified. Sanctified. John 17 and 7, Jesus said it this way in his high priestly prayer, praying to the Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Paul says here to the church in Ephesus that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. As God's people, how do we continue to grow in this grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? We continue to do it by learning more about what it means to be righteous, which is revealed to us in the Word of God. What did Jesus say? These are they that testify of me. Do you want to know the character of Christ? We've got to study the book. We've got to know the objective nature of sanctification. And then pray that the Spirit of God will apply that to our lives on an ongoing basis. I want you to consider something tonight in light of sanctification. We should, and we do, decry the teaching of becoming gods, or some say little gods. But if we're not careful, as we look into the perfect law of liberty, as James calls it, as we look in and we find the objective nature of sanctification, we want to retain the right to sit in judgment of God's law in the areas that we don't want to reflect. If we're not careful, what are we doing if we do that? We are denying that God, in His great plan of redemption, wants to conform us, that is not an area of Christ's character. It is amazing how many will, as we've said, decry the teaching of becoming gods or little gods. But yet at the same time, as the serpent said to Eve, you can be like God. Determine for yourself what is good and what is evil. You can be God. You don't have to have God determine that for you. You can determine what it means to be sanctified yourself. So, a warning, let us be careful that we do not sit in judgment on the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 3, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 through 3, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Some translations say they're not a burden to us. Burdensome. They're not heavy. What did Jesus say in Matthew 11, 28 through 30? We're not going to turn there. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Until Christ is applied to us, until the objective nature of sanctification is applied to us, the law of God is a burden to us. But when the objective nature of sanctification is applied to us, we subjectively then embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and His commandments. Because they are a revelation of the objective nature. And so Jesus says, come unto me. That's living for the Lord and serving the Lord. I can testify tonight that the way of the Lord is much easier than the way of sin and transgression. You know, sanctified life where does it lead? The writer of Proverbs says, all they that hate me love death. It leads to death. We could stop tonight and begin to make application to our individual lives. You see lives that are lived in an unsanctified way. Chaos. Confusion. Suicide. You talk about how rampant suicide is. Families that are unsanctified without the objective nature of sanctification, without Christ. We call it dysfunctional families. Let's call it what it is. It's unsanctified. It's without Christ. How about churches that are unholy and unrighteous? They're without the objective nature of sanctification. They're without Christ. How about a civil government that isn't sanctified? They do not believe in the objective nature of sanctification. Men are always trying to push their definition of sanctification. They're trying to define for us what is good, what is righteous, and what is holy. We have a battle pursuing right now. What defines marriage? There are churches who are aligning themselves with an unsanctified and righteous and unholy position. Why? They do not embrace the objective nature of sanctification. That is why they will not speak of sanctification and of holiness. Because of the carnality that Paul says in Romans 8 and 7 is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. God is calling us, church, to sanctification, to holiness. Look in 1 Thessalonians with me, chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Now this is the word holiness again. That the literal translation, at least Young's literal translation, it doesn't translate as holiness. It translates it as sanctification. God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto sanctification. So here we have a law of contrary. If sanctification, then sanctification must be that which is the opposite of uncleanness. God is therefore calling us to live clean lives. Pure, holy, righteous. That men may see the good works of God's people and glorify our Father which is in heaven. God has called us unto holiness. He called us unto sanctification. How prone our heart is to wander. I think we can all say that, everyone else. If we can't testify that, then we're not being truthful. When I'm about to do something, do I stop and say, is this clean or unclean in the sight of God? Will this follow through with sanctification that God has called me to? I run headlong too many times. And when after it's done, the Spirit of God smites my conscience. Because I've done something that was in an unsanctified manner. Praise God. If we confess our sins, our unsanctifiedness, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all things that are unsanctified. Look in Philippians chapter 2 with me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, if you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We read Romans already. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We can prove what is a good and perfect will of God. The word there translated or defined in the Greek, it means that we can prove what is a pleasure to God. In Romans. In Philippians, God said, it is God that's working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What is God then doing? In Romans, He's renewing our mind. He's continually renovating us. And the Greek word there is metamorphosis, where we get the word metamorphosis from. He's completely always changing us into what? The image of Jesus Christ. A sanctified life. One that is pure, one that is separated from sin. To be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So God is calling us. And the Word of God teaches us here in Philippians that God, He is continually active in the sanctification of His people. As we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In closing tonight, turn back to Philippians chapter 1 with me. And verse 6. This is actually the verse that converted my brother-in-law to the sovereign grace of God. I want to encourage you tonight with this verse. In closing, being confident of this very thing, that He which has begun a good work in you, what is a good work? What is good? What is holy? What is righteous? Will perform it, complete it, fulfill it until the day of Jesus Christ. Church, it was left up to you and left up to me to complete this race and end up living a sanctified life. It would not get done. But thanks be to God tonight, it is the same God that began this work in us of purifying and setting us apart who will continue this work in us until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will continue to take the objective nature of sanctification and apply it to our lives. And then there will come a day of glorification when we will live free from sin and the objective nature, as Ephesians 4:24 renewed in holiness and true righteousness. What a day that will be. I can't comprehend, as I said tonight, I cannot comprehend this. That someday I will be completely sanctified. I am positionally, we are all positionally sanctified in Christ now. But there will be a completion of that position that we have in Christ, that we will be there to live with Christ, separate from sin, separate from that which is unholy, separate from that which is unrighteous and which is not good, and always bring pleasure to God in a glorified state of sanctification. Father, we thank you tonight for the glorious privilege and the blessing that it is to know the Lord Jesus, to truly know the one who is holy, who is righteous, and who is good. Who are we, Lord? We're but dust. Why would you love us, Lord? Why would you call us out of the life of misery and sin except for your great mercy and your great love and apply to us the glorious life of Jesus Christ? Impute His righteousness, His goodness, His righteousness, and His wholeness to us. And not only so, but you would continue to lead us and guide us by the working of the Spirit into all truth, your holy word. Continue to apply unto us the word of God that reveals to us the objective nature of what it means to be pure and set apart. We might be more and more like unto the image of Christ, that you would be conformed to that image. Thank you, Lord. What a blessed hope we have. What a blessed assurance we have that you who have begun this work in us, that thou, O Lord, will complete it and bring it to pass to complete fruition. And we shall forever worship and praise in glory unto the sanctified Lord who has called us out of darkness in this marvelous way of sanctification. For that, God, we give you praise and thanks in thy own holy name. Amen.